just off of, it's in the Henderson, but it's off the Stephanie and Sunset, the Gallery Mall. You'll see it on the right-hand side, 1300 Sunset. And I'll be giving away 5 free When the Angels Have Risen, the prequel, toward the purchase of 5 of The Heretic, my newly released book. And then, if you aren't out here during Memorial Weekend, and you happen to be out here, or you happen to be on the west side of town, I will be also doing another event, signing books away, and you can come by and chat even at both events. And I'll be doing this one, the other one, May 31st, on a Saturday, 1 through 5, at the Psychic Eye Bookstore at 6848 West Charleston. That's Rainbow and Charleston. And if you're out there, you know, check it out. Talk to me. We'll have a little chat. Meet me in person. Say what's on your mind. And speaking of which, I have a very special guest. Feel free to call in if you would like. Don't be afraid. I don't bite that hard. And my topic today is free energy. I know people out there have been, you know, concerned, obviously. Hell, look at the price of gas now. We're heading toward $4, and some places are $4 and a gallon, and how it's affecting every element of our lives. So my question is, and the things are brought up, about free energy, and I just want to put this in back in your mind before I bring my guest who's patiently waiting on the line, because what would happen if energy was ultimately free? I mean, you didn't pay for it, or you just had a device, basically, that gave it to you. Think about it, how that would affect our economy, our social situation, food, everything in around us. So, without further ado, I have a very special guest, and I'll explain. He is, I believe, a prodigy, highly intelligent. He's a student here in Las Vegas at UNLV, and he is quite an expert on Nikola Tesla, who happened to develop free energy further to his demise. Jay Castellano, are you still there?
How are you, Andy?
I'm doing great. How's your day?
I'm doing fine so far. It's quite an intro. A lot to live up to.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, I just tell how it is, you know.
Well, I appreciate
some
that.
Some people can't handle it. Others, you know, say what they're on their mind, they still can't. Anyway, I understand from when we spoke before, and, you know, we've had many conversations about free energy, and, I mean, there's been several talks of the past, and a lot of people out there don't even know who Nikola Tesla is in the first place and what he means to us, because he's actually affected us. I mean, nobody really knows him compared to, like, Edison and other inventors, right. Yet he has done more, giving us more inventions, and he ultimately developed to his demise from, I would think, more like the future of the Bilderbergs and some very highly controversial conspiratorial things that affected his life, all the name for profit, economics, and power. But tell us a little bit about the Nikola Tesla and, you know, what you know and what he has accomplished and what things, you know, that people out there in on the internet are listening to, or future listeners, and by the way, thanks for listening, would, you know, understand about this individual and what he's done.
Right. Well, Tesla was an absolutely amazing person. I mean, he was born in 1856, died in 1943, and during that time, over 700 patents were attributed to this one man. He had this uncanny ability to visualize and work and test, assemble, disassemble his inventions in his head. And some points he wouldn't even be able to tell, you know, between what was real and what was being built in his head. He invented the radio. When he was asked about Marconi, you know, why is this guy using your patents? He said, you know, he's a great fellow. He's using 17 of my patents. I'll just let him go. And Tesla realized that there was a sea of energy around us, this massive untapped potential that he would be able to tap into with a certain fuelless generator that he developed himself. And you would essentially be able to have free, unlimited, wirelessly transmitted energy available to anyone on the Earth. There are charged particles in the air that he found out that when you set up a metal plate in the air, and he would build a metal plate with a wire run to the ground, hooked up to two sides of a capacitor, and the sun and other sources of radiant energy throw off these positively charged particles, and this plate picks them up, the current flows through the condenser and collects this free energy essentially forever. It's absolutely incredible the way he would be able to illuminate stuff like lamps.
So basically, that, because that's electrical magnetic energy, basically what you're talking about. So basically, he's utilizing electrical magnetic energy from which we have all around us, and focusing it toward one point to another, keeping to the point of what they call conservation of energy, and therefore it would be free. I mean, basically, you would just it'd be funneling it into one source and pushing it out to another. That's
correct.
What it's what. And so, but he developed this, but we're back in the under, I believe, J.P. Morgan.
With J.P. Morgan's money, correct? He developed
right.
And built towers at Walden Cliff.
Right.
It would actually send positively charged pieces of energy into the ionosphere, into the Schumann cavity, which resonates about 8 cycles per second. It's between the Earth and the bottom of the ionosphere. And this is a resonant cavity. And he would send this energy up and essentially spank it with another charge. And as it would travel around the world and return to where his tower was, he would essentially spank it again, and it would go around the world again. And all the while, it would be collecting and collecting more energy. And at a certain point, he would be able to pull this down, and it would be economically usable. He could send it wirelessly through the towers to wherever he would want, wherever it was needed.
So, I guess I can really hear you, but how would they? How would that transfer? I understand the energy coming source. How would that into his device? How would it be transferred freely, wirelessly, to, let's say, a house or a home or whatnot?
Well, he would use his towers to transmit the electricity through resonant waves, sound waves, energy waves, and if you had the right way to pull down this energy, which he would be able to give to people, then you would just have to put a little cord into the ground, run a wire to the ground, stick it in the ground into the earth, and you would have free energy, free electricity, for as long as that wire was touched into the earth.
So, but how would it go wirelessly into, or, oh, I see, it's collecting outside, and it's like reverberating outside, and therefore it could light up, almost like what he did. Isn't that sort of the thing he did, like wirelessly lighting up light bulbs and whatnot?
Right. He's essentially taking the charge out of the air and using it himself. This unlimited charge in the ionosphere, he's just pulling it out. Because we know the Earth resonates at about 6 cycles per second, and all this resonant energy that the Earth produces itself is just up there in the ionosphere, 60 kilometers above the Earth, just doing nothing. I mean, it's responsible for lightning, for weather patterns, and he's just essentially pulling some out of the sky and transmitting it to whoever needs it.
So it's sort of like Benjamin Franklin pulling a lightning bolt, but in this case, he's pulling it from more of a—I don't know how to put it—but almost like he envelops scale. Like he's not here. I'm putting waiting for the lightning bolt run down. Since there's so much electrical things happening in our atmosphere, he's just collecting it from that air and just reconverting it and directing it. That sounds what it sounds like.
Exactly. And of course, it's on a massively, exponentially massively larger scale.
Right. Now, J.P. Morgan actually originally, I believe, had him thinking. He didn't realize he was developing a device that was supposed to be for, I believe, radio waves with that device. And then later on, he told J.P. Morgan that it's for producing electricity. And then, but J.P. Morgan couldn't figure how he could put like a running meter to make money off of it, and he was freaked out because it would basically be totally free. It's basically the only thing that causes it to be the device, which wouldn't be a bad thing. But I guess he wanted the long scale. You just, you know, it's like buying a device and that's it. He wanted it something to be perpetual. You know, you'd constantly have to pay him for consistently, and I guess he must have been freaked out over it. And that's when I heard that was pretty much the start of the demise of Tesla. I mean, both financially and also he was pretty much blackmailed with the power of J.P. Morgan.
Exactly, the power of the money. When he fully explained his invention to J.P. Morgan and his fellow investors, Morgan realized, like you said, that he would have no way of really perpetually charging money for this. So there was no way.
So what year was this device developed?
He developed this free, unlimited wireless energy transmission in the early 1900s, 1901, in Colorado Springs.
And then didn't he, after it was destroyed, subsequently, I don't remember the year exactly, he built another one on his own, and then I think, like 20-some-odd years later, or 30 years later, I don't remember what years, didn't he build another one, and then it was destroyed by the U.S. Marines?
Right, it was destroyed by the Navy, and they said it was for, they wanted to use the steel because of the war. So it took them, you know, it took them three or four times to actually be able to demolish this tower. It was so well built. But they essentially destroyed his laboratory, his tower, and he had nowhere to go. He had no more money because, you know, Tesla wasn't really a businessman. You know, he gave that up to Morgan and Westinghouse, but...
Yeah, and he used to spend all his money left and right for his own, you know, equipment and stuff.
Right, he would spend his own personal salary on equipment and...
But I think it's very interesting because what I've read about that, when they came in and wiped out his devices, they were also claiming that it was, you know, they're afraid that it was supposedly for, possibly for German stuff, you know, because it was, you know, during the possibly a war, during the wartime, and that that was their excuse. But, you know, in light of today, back then, people were a little bit more naive as to what the government would do. Today, if you saw something like that, you would know there was definitely, as they say, the spooks or the government behind it or powers or something. It sounded almost like, you know, like how certain corporations, certain things are developed. I'll give you an example, Jay. I remember this happened back in the 70s when we had the energy crisis. How, just to show you examples of how certain things are affected and twisted just for out of profit for energy. In the 70s, I was studying at UC Davis, and they had developed a plant associated to the Jehovah plant that grew out in the desert. And I remember Rosalind Carter, President Carter's wife, came out, and then later President Carter, just overjoyed. They found a plant that grows in the desert that produces a petroleum product. Basically, you would crush the center of it, and it developed, it was petroleum. You just, there you go. You got pure, clean oil, and it was actually clean oil. I found out when it burned, it burned off almost like an ethanol, but it wasn't exactly ethanol, but it was almost like a petroleum. It was highly able to utilize straight into vehicles. So they were all excited. But the problem was, at the time, at the laws were that if anything discovered or patented, they had to auction off the patent or development of that project to companies. And so that happened, the patent to it, or actually to the plant itself, was auctioned off, and it was bought by Chevron Oil, and then lo and behold, nobody's heard about it, right? The same thing, same time within, during that same year, because I remember it was like 1978, we had, we had developed the associated plant. I can't remember the name of it because it was basically written off numbers. And there was two devices developed at the Livermore Laboratories in Berkeley. Anybody can check this out. It is there. If you go back during the late 70s, they had developed both a battery that lasted well over 10 years and a light bulb that wouldn't go out for some 20 years. And that had to have been auctioned off, and then that was bought by, lo and behold, GE, and nobody's ever heard about it. And it seems that people don't realize how the energy crisis that we have is more manufactured than anything. It's more, you know, if we had the ability to have free energy, like this, what Tesla had developed, then, you know, society would change and we wouldn't have the economics. But it's obviously out of greed and power. And you don't even need solar energy. You don't need, you know, these other so-called, that's like, I think it's almost like they're playing with us. But my question to you, Jay, if this device is out there, why isn't there other scientists that are coming out with their own devices and say, hey, you know, in other countries or other places, say, hey, we have Tesla's device. We're going to put out free energy. What do you think? Do you think that there's a device out there? Or what? If it was developed back then, I'm sure somebody knows how to develop it now.
The thing about Tesla is that he was so far ahead of his time that he's even ahead of our time now. I mean, this guy was an absolute genius. He would, you know, he wouldn't really laugh, but he would scoff at things that Einstein was coming up with, special relativity. And he would, because he knew that a lot of this stuff that was going on back then and that would be going on for years to come would be just completely and utterly wrong. And I do believe that people have come up with, you know, with other free energy devices or even other ways to communicate and transmit free energy, but I believe that they've either got, you know, bought up, silenced, threatened, you know, any sort of things can happen.
Well, the reason I bring that up, because I don't know if you know who Edward Teller is?
No, I don't.
Okay, Teller was the guy who found the hydrogen bomb. But during his research, while he was developing it, they had several research departments under the government at the time. They were doing, actually, this started off with what they call reverse engineering with UFO devices. And part of it was they were trying to figure out utilizing anti-gravity. And while they were developing uses of anti-gravity, they latched onto the system of free energy from anti-gravity as well as electromagnetic energy. And there's a gentleman named Stan Dale who worked under Teller during the early 70s, during the last few of his projects, and he was also a highly classified technical engineer in their advances as far as physics and whatnot. And he has now in Australia, and they've come out and started developing utilizations of anti-gravity is another method of methodology, and it seems like things are coming to a head, but you know, it's like when you're talking about and people become more aware of Tesla and these other opportunities for energy, there is going to be, we're coming to a head where, you know, there's not going to be any more oil. You know, look what's going on, even though I believe that's more of a manipulation. What do you foresee as far as why these devices with Tesla that are, you know, you said that they're not going to, people are afraid to put them out or whatnot. There's got to be somebody who's going to pop up out of, you know, another country, another place. I mean, there's, you know, they can't, you know, we can actually control the whole world. But if somebody brought up a device and just stuck it out without anybody knowing and was able to throw out this energy, and it got out onto more of a media, even though a lot of the media is controlled, but there's the internet, which there is no control, then this might be a vehicle where, you know, this could be utilized. But what's your forethought on what will happen? Do you think that eventually we'll be using this Tesla technology, or what's your feelings as far as the political situation with that? Do you think there's opportunity? I mean,
you know, I really think that at there's got to be a point where Americans and humans as a whole just say that's got to be enough, you know, paying these outrageous profits to these oil companies and, you know, to these electrical barons, I like to call them, there's got to be a point where we just say, you know, that's too much. And, you know, one thing came to mind when you were saying that is a guy named John Searle, a British inventor scientist, where he actually is said to have developed anti-gravity flight vehicles and, in turn, you know, a way to harness a free energy system, a way to, you know, you put energy in and you get more energy out, which is essentially a free energy device. And he's out in the public eye right now. He's publishing papers. He's actually going to put out a movie soon. And he's been threatened, he says. He's been threatened by all sorts of things.
What is his name again?
John Searle, S-E-A-R-L.
S-E...
A-R-L.
All right. Everybody out there, go and Google it.
Because I sure as hell am. There's a couple videos on YouTube that you can see of his, he calls them his levity discs. And
wow.
They're actually tiny electromagnets placed in a circle around magnets on the edge.
Yeah, that's how the device are like with Stan Deo. I have it on his YouTube. He has something like the similar device you're talking about.
Right, right. The positive pole of the magnet pulls and the negative pole pushes, so
mm-hmm.
these electromagnetics start spinning, you know, without barely any friction. They just spin and spin and spin.
Right, and they have to have a minimum of three wheels spinning, and they're like almost in the same formation, but they're like they're evenly spaced.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
They're evenly spaced without external...
Right, that's the anti-gravity free energy.
There you go.
Yeah, the thing is, I was always wondering, the problem is, what would happen? This is the situation, what would happen? And that's why I brought it up in the very beginning of the show. Like, if we have the development of these devices, and this is a fear issue, we will change our economics. If there is free energy, that means not only our vehicles, food will be abundant. There will be absolutely no reason for not lack of food, lack of clothing. Every element you can think about, can point to, is associated with utilizing energy, and our economics would be in such a case where it'll be almost. This sounds maybe like a little bit like Star Trek-y. But we won't have a need of a currency because it will push to the point where there will not be economics. There will not be, you know, that, and that don't sound communistic or socialist or anything like that, but it would push to the point that every individual would have free energy, would affect their daily lives.
Right, that's the aspect of your life. Just
right, so therefore, right, but it will wipe out the profit of the top and the people diminish the bottom. I mean, there's always going to be certain classes to a point because people have to, you know, have, you know, their choices of, you know, pushing to improve themselves. And if they don't choose that, then obviously they're going to get less. So I think that would effectively affect a lot of things. It would also affect wars. There would not be this worry about Saudi Arabia and the oil peninsula. It wouldn't be the thing where the Iranians think, okay, we're going to, you threaten people with the oil. I mean, it would change so dramatically so many things around the world, society-wise, that it would wipe out the control factors, I think, and wipe out economics in such a large degree that I think people would be almost afraid of the change because they would not have those who are on the top or toward the top or think they're on the top because they may be upper class or they think they're... because they're fed this phony carrot that, oh, I got this, I got the new car, I'm out traveling, and da-da-da. They don't realize you'd have all that. Anyway, but then so would everybody else would. And they're fed with, this might be taken away, and I think that's what's pushed upon, you know, the phony carrot that people think. And that's why they're not... They. If anybody speaks about free energy, people roll their eyes. It's almost like a UFO situation. People roll their eyes when they hear about UFOs. Hello?
Hello.
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 Yes.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing great.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I got a question for Jay.
Yes.
I can barely hear you. Now, this is real interesting. This is really great what you're talking about here. So I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions, like what us citizens can do right now to help utilize a change. How do we go about making the change when you're saying that these scientists have been threatened or shut down or whatever? How does a normal citizen make a change? Do you have any suggestions?
We can start by utilizing less energy than we do now. Try to take the power away from the people that have it today. You know, these electrical barons and these fuel barons that basically control every aspect of our economy and our lives. We can take the power away from them.
How do you do that?
Use clean energy. You know, we could drive a hybrid. Imagine the implications, the loss of profits, if every single American drove less, drove slower, drove more safely, of course.
Oh, sure.
And used less fuel. You know, they would lose profits in the billions. And I just received an email about using less products made in China. If 200 million Americans for 1 month bought no products made in China to the tune of $8 billion a month.
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
Can you hear me now?
If they did, if they bought no what?
No more products made in China. This is just...
The stock of Walmart would go down.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you were not coming up with free energy devices ourselves, you know, Joe Schmo like you and I, that's what I believe we can start doing now.
Right.
Using less energy, taking the power away from the people that feed on it, that feed on our fear, you know, our ignorance of the subject.
Absolutely.
And our money.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. I just was wondering what there is that we could do, you know, to help.
Probably, just like he had said earlier, is the more awareness of,
right,
like, the scientists. Because the biggest scare, like, you know, if somebody's put in the forefront and they're known about it, they can't get rid of them. You know what I mean? It's like, it's back in the days where people were trying to shut up people, and as long as there was, like, example during the anti-Vietnam War thing, people came out and started voicing this as more and more and more.
Right.
Then, out of numbers, people, the powers that be can't do nothing about it.
Right.
You know, and as more people become aware worldwide, and thank God we have the internet, through blogosphere, through IMs, through chat rooms, through MySpace, there's such a vehicle of exchange that if people are aware of this, then they become more aware, and that's the first step. And the second step, like Jay was mentioning, do something actively that would curtail, like, the use of energy, and yet they'll still have their way of using their profits. But if the person or people, the scientists, and we have abilities to develop these technologies, and as long as people are aware of them on the forefront, and so that they can't be circumvented by the media, then they can possibly come out more further ahead. And there are people who, you know, who have wealth, who will get behind them. There are the Angelina Jolies out there who people don't even know about, or Brad Pitts, even though they're like actors who are out there being great humanitarians. There are others that people don't are aware of who do have a lot of money, who do definitely do care. I mean, not all rich folk are, you know, evil. There are a lot of very wealthy people who really want, who know that they were born with an opportunity in this lifetime to make change. So they'll use that to develop it, and this is a great opportunity. And there's also, I can go on and on about certain people who would do this for change, because they have come up, you know, from the bottom up, you know. And I personally think the biggest obstacle for getting these devices goes back to, and it sounds like conspiracy, because I had brought this up before and even on with my producer before, about the associated of Bilderbergs. And that's why I was asking Jay who actually hit Tesla's thing. People don't realize J.P. Morgan was one of the starters first of all, he owns the Federal Reserve. He was also the person involved, head of, one of the heads of the first of the Foreign Council of Foreign Affairs. He was also part of the start of the preamble of the Bilderbergs. And if you look at the conspiratorial factors associated with him, with the energy crisis, you'll see a link. You'll see a link today how it was sort of not coincidental that when Cheney, who was also part of the Bilderbergs, had a meeting, secret special meeting with the energy people, and then all of a sudden 3-4 months later, we had a national energy crisis before 9/11 during that summer when the electrical grids are going nuts. That was not an accident, okay? And why Enron out of nowhere started profiting left and right, building up money out of nowhere, and companies like that. This is the the dots are all connected, and that's why Tesla is an example of what happened to him, and people like Jay, making people more aware of this, of who Tesla was. I'm trying to show here's the real picture. This is the real, we're looking down, we're amongst the little chessboards, but if you step up and look down upon the chessboard, you see the real game that's going on our planet today. And as people become aware of the chessboard, that you're being used as pawns, then you go, wait a second, I ain't no pawn.
Right.
And then you see it from a three-dimensional point of what is happening and becoming aware of the energy and the possibilities of having free energy. What happens associated to self-worth. As people become more self-worthy, they're going to stand up and make their choices of making change. And this is an example of change by being, first you become aware of the situation. The next step, like Jay had said, do something.
Don't shop at Walmart and stuff, but with... As far as the gas thing goes, what do you do about that? What can you do about that?
The gas thing,
if you have to drive, say like me, I am in the country, so I have to drive everywhere or ride a bike. You can change, to bikes, which is okay.
Well,
the only thing you do?
Yeah, the only thing, and I know people, they're limited to what they can do on a car. Plan your trips. I plan my trips. I'm not going to go up to one place where I know I'm going to do it. I try to do several things on the way up where I'm doing things when I drive.
Uh-huh.
I will minimize things. If I know I can, of course, I live right behind the Palms. So if I know instead of driving there, I'll walk behind to the Palms. It's only a 2 blocks.
Definitely, yeah.
People are so thinking that they have to drive right up to where they have to go all the time. Take a walk. It's healthy, to even take a bike ride. Limit yourself. Also, check out your car, making sure that, as much as you can, change the air filters. All those little things add up. Making sure your car is tuned up. Change your plugs. Those little teeny things add up to what Jay's talking about, which will save gas. And then buying certain things that, I hate to say, we need to go back to the old Kennedy days, which people don't even realize. He said, buy American, which would be, if the government really wanted to, they'd say, okay, you know what? Everyone who bought something made in America, you get a tax credit.
Uh-huh.
Do something like that. If I was senator or president, that would be the easy. If I was Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, or I know McCain wouldn't do it, but I would go and go, hey, you know what? If you buy an American product or your business, you get a tax break. And guess how fast that would change economics? See, that's a way of changing things, doing certain incentives or create incentives. But see, they don't want to, but they're going to be, and if people voice themselves like what Jay was saying, it would change circumstances. It would put pressure on them. They have no other choice,
Right. Right. And if I may jump in, I believe myself the most dangerous thought process to us as Americans and as humans is the belief that one person cannot make a difference. One person can't change, because one person, throughout your day, you can affect hundreds of people. and you can essentially change, you know, how people think, how people feel by just
I totally agree
leading
with that,
by example.
Yeah, that's the pebble effect. If you throw a little pebble in a spot, it'll ripple. But you know what? And it brings on the thought things. I brought this up before a long time ago. Thoughts of things, but like David Wilcock had brought up, they did a scientific study, and this is a fact. And I lived there during the 80s. They actually did where they had people do transmutation. Like I think they had like a lot of people, like 7,000 people, point their thoughts at this prayer and their thought, whatever, toward the area of southern Lebanon for 30 days while there was war activity going. And during those 30 days, all of a sudden, violence went down to a zip.
Uh-huh.
And they have facts, and they tried that same thing later on in the United States, the areas where they are having problems with areas where they had gang violence or whatnot, like they had it done in Detroit and whatnot. So it's the same situation. Like you're talking, we're talking about it. If you talk to somebody else, that's another person. They'll talk. You know, the 1 in 10 talks at 100. Plus the thoughts are, I believe, thoughts are things. If people's mind things, they're thinking differently. They're more aware of it. Then that also affects everybody around them. We're all sort of connected, no matter what people think. So, like what Jay was saying.
It's
definitely an opportunity to change.
I agree with Jay.
Another thing I believe is very important is support, is supporting alternate media outlets, you know, support internet radio, support your local mad scientist, you know, I mean, support the people that you believe can change things, you know.
Absolutely.
Or your universities, your scientists.
No matter if you get... What? Static from it, because a lot of people don't like it.
Hey, Dave, did I just go off a separate point? What's your thoughts on the ideas of, you know, you'd heard of, you know, getting to free energy and all that stuff. What do you think there's because this is becoming more out there actually through the internet, more people are talking about it. Some areas, people are doing their 9-to-5 thing out of choice, and they live pretty much in a bubble anyway. I'm sure you're aware, but... you know, they just eat, drink, go home, suck their beer, smoke their bong next day. But there's a lot of people like you and a lot of young people, especially, I find actually it's amazing, more younger people becoming more aware who are actually trying to make a new change. Sort of funny, it's 30 years later, because in my generation we did and we became from hippies to yuppies or whatever.
Yuppies.
Yeah, and we sold our souls to the Reaganization of America and the world. But I think it's real positive seeing a lot of your generation of wanting to creating changes and through certain avenues. But what do you think about the thing about 2010 and 2012 about and how that's affecting? Do you think that's coincidence that now people are becoming more aware of the utilization of free energy, or becoming more less narcissistic, more looking for us as a whole? Do you think what's your views on that?
You know, I think that the advent of modern technology, and you know, mainly the advent of the computer as an outlet for, you know, creative expression and communication, really brought this almost to a head, you know, at least to the point where we're at now. I believe that this new modern technology that we've been able to utilize in the past 20, 30 years really has more of an effect than anything else on people becoming more aware of what's really going on. You know, back in the early 1900s, 1800s, you know, people like Tesla would be doing these experiments, and people in the same city wouldn't find out for 6 months, 8 months what just happened. You know, and the quickness of which information is transmitted, I believe, is definitely at fault, you know.
So, like,
because he tried to get the information out, or they just weren't getting it?
You know, he put the information out there, and actually his benefactors did as well. But when Tesla really described how his plan, you know, to give free energy to the entire world was when they started shutting him up. They Actually,
because it was a threat.
Superman movies, they portrayed him as a, you know, quintessential mad scientist, made fun of him, called him crazy, you know, discredited him, and he tried his entire life.
It goes back to the, hey, if they had free energy back then, economics would cease to exist. That's what it would go back to, and I, like, again, say on Star Trek here, nothing, because I remember there was a Star Trek, one of the shows, and they went back in time, and then they're saying about money. Oh, yeah, you know that thing they used back in the 21st century? They had dollars and what, yen and whatnot. Yeah, they, oh, yeah, okay. Well, we don't have that in our time, you know. That was, I remember the line, economics is not important. What we focus on is improving ourselves.
Right, and all the extra time we would have to do such a thing, to improve ourselves. Imagine the other endeavors we'd have time to pursue if we didn't have to work a 9-to-5 job, you know, transmit power to all the people, clean the water. There's an inventor and scientist named Victor Schauberger who his mantra, his entire way of thinking was getting back to nature, to simplifying things. And he made these little, I guess they would be kind of like the fins on a surfboard. And if you place them at strategic points in a riverbed, it would cause the flowing water to form a horizontal spiral with air in the middle. And this is, you know, essentially going against gravity, but this horizontal spiral of water would oxygenate the water. It would super oxygenate the water so much that it would clean it. And it was actually reported that it would clean this better than chemicals and heat combined. Just putting a few pieces of wood in a riverbed. You know, imagine if we had that, then, you know, Las Vegas Valley Water District would be...
Well, they have to have some water first.
That's true.
We're running out of water here, and we got nuclear water heading our way.
Well, humans weren't supposed to live in the desert anyway. I don't believe we were made for this.
Well, humans
people were not made to live in the desert?
I don't believe we weren't made to live as a giant metropolitan city in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, that's sort of...
The system just can't support it, you know?
We're fighting
nature by pumping in all this water and electricity and artificial shade.
But some things can be de-desertized. I mean, you know, I know what you're saying, but I lived in Israel, and Israel was one time a swampland, and a lot of the area that you would think was desert is now green. You're right about the... I think it's a plan of dynamics. I mean, if you take the water and use it wrongly, like throwing a big, huge waterfall in front of a hotel is one thing. But if they did strategically change the atmosphere in a way that would help produce water, because there's a huge water well, actually there's a lot of underground water inside Nevada. But a lot of the water now, they're scared because it was from the nuclear testing. There's a big vein that's about to heading toward the water wells underneath Vegas. And you're right. I mean, up to a point, you can't have so much of a metropolitan area, and you can't go against nature to a larger point. But people have humans have always lived in desert situations. But I remember, this is a saying in the Middle East, people need to live as a Bedouin wherever you're at. And that means to adapt to your environment. Not necessarily totally change your environment to what you can, but up to a point you have to, you know, face the reality. That's like when people live in the Antarctica, you know, you're not gonna, you can't turn it into a tropical area and have it like, you know, like looking like San Diego, California. Just like in Vegas, you can't turn it into make it look like, you know, the Everglades in Florida. You know, you're limited, and the same thing. You can't have a huge metropolitan area, and
but it all comes down
supported artificially, and that's what Jay's talking about. And there's
I
up to a
that.
Yeah, there's up to a point, and there, you know, there is technology to make the environment better, but then for every action, there's a reaction, and our Earth will react to it in different ways, you know. So, but, you know, I was just curious what you would think, like, you know, in as a in your generation, what do you see? Do you feel more of a pessimist or more of an optimist?
You know, pessimist to a point. You know, pessimistic about the situation now, the current situation, is just not conducive to what we believe society should be like. You know, and I'm sure most people feel that way. But don't count us out yet, guys. Don't count us out yet. There's always hope, you know. There's always hope that today somebody could be born and it could be, you know, the next Nikola Tesla or the next John Searle.
Or maybe they're already out there.
Or maybe they're already out there. Listening to this show.
Yep. Wow.
Well, it was really great talking to you both you guys. And Jay, you're a smart person.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for all the information. And thank you, Andrew, for letting me talk.
Yeah, no problem.
Both of you have a good day. I'm going to hang up now.
Thank you.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Anyway, it's fascinating. I mean, I think there's a lot that has to be said. I mean, I think, you know, things are coming to a head, and I think politically people are, that's why I think, you know, I'm not going to get into with the Barack Obama and all that, but I think that's a reaction to people looking for change, and there's a dynamics. And as much as some people think something's negative, I look at it as a positive, because I think, you know, they're eventually... These people will be changed themselves into. I'm very optimistical that even those who think they're in power are not going to find themselves not really in power, and they're going to find themselves, like in the book of Kurt Vonnegut's book, Sirens of Titan, that there's control is an illusion, that you think you're in control, and there's always something else controlling you and something else controlling it, and so you can't really ever really say you're in control. And I think those who are trying to control situations to turn us into a new world order by controlling even our energy, controlling our economics, so they can try to maintain their power and increase their illusionary idea of having a one world order under one control, they'll find history has shown over and over again those people fall. So I want to really thank you, Jay, for coming on my show. It's coming to a close here because I only got like 5 minutes for top of the hour. But it was quite fascinating to hear what you know about Tesla. And if anybody out there wants to re-listen, this should shortly come back on the archive in a day or two or so. Just check the archive list.
I appreciate you letting me on, Andy.
Hey, it has been a great, you know, a great thing. I've been trying to get you on for a while, you know, and I appreciate your knowledge and what you know, and, you know, God bless you, guy. And,
of course, anytime. God bless you, man.
Thanks. And any of you, I also want to thank BBS Radio for having me and producing my show here. And any of you out there, please, if you have any questions, or comments or future things you want to discuss, you can contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. That is my email address. You can also contact me through MySpace, .com/, my name, of course, Andrew Fetter. And with that, I will close with another song by Denise Vasquez, Because We All Belong. And thank you, and God bless you all, and have a great and safe weekend. Goodbye and God bless.
Twenty times I've tried to tell you, 20 times I've cried alone. With some surprise, how well you cut my feelings to the bone. Don't wanna leave you, really. Just wanna break the ice. Do I look silly to you when I yield to your advice? When you say we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder, we belong to the sound of the wind. seguro que es verdad. El cariño que es sincero no se acaba con crueldad. Olvida lo que fuimos y desprecias lo más fiel. Pero juntitos prendimos que la luna era de miel. Junto a ti solo es mi ángela. Junto a ti como radio de luz que ha brotado el cielo. No importa por venir sin sufrir, es mi triste destino. Junto a ti. Junto a ti hasta el fin de camino. Close your eyes and try to sleep now. Close your eyes and try to dream. Clear your mind and do your best to try and wash the palette clean. We can't begin to know now how much we really care. But I hear your voice inside me, and I see your face everywhere. Now I see we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder. We belong to the sound of the words, we both fall in under. Whatever we deny or embrace, but we're so far better. Together. Junto a ti, junto a ti, solo es mi angelo. Junto a ti como radio de luz que ha brotado el cielo. No importa por venir sin sufrir, es mi triste destino. Junto a ti. Junto a ti hasta el fin de camino.
Hey everybody, this is Amy Zarek. I am the star of science fiction show Lex Zark Zone. Well, I hope you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's show on bbsradio.com. See, well, if you want to do Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy.
Health Science and.
Oh, what was it?
Health Science and.
Health Science.
Just say you're listening to Dr. Bell's Health Science and.
And Energy.
Health Science and.
Energy show?
That yeah. Works. In fact, I can.
Or Health,
edit.
Energy, and Science show.
Health Science and.
We just call it the Dr. Bell show.
Okay, well, that's what I did.
Same thing, only okay. A little shorter. Yeah, same thing. Health Science and.
Vitaly, the new name in electronic music. Presents his new album, Looking at the Stars. Check it out at dub.